Welcome to this week's Big Boats interview. I am Cecile Goward, editor of Boat US, and today I catch up with Bob Giles, owner of the North Haven 96 Viviray. A few years ago, I visited Bob at his car dealership in Lafayette, Louisiana. He had already put 20,000 miles in the first 10 months of ownership of his new North Haven, making him one of the most active owners the builder had seen. This year, he started a circumnavigation and has made two trips to French Polynesia so far. We talk about his new plans, destinations, diving with sharks, and favorite places in the world, as well as a secret to mastering the flight board using Google Earth and much more. Please join us.
Hi, Bob. How are you today?
I'm great. And how are you?
I'm doing great. It's very nice to see you and speak to you again. It's been a while.
It has been.
Yes, I think I found some notes. I think it was 2018 that I was at your office.
It was, but I think I saw you last year at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yes.
So are you in Lafayette today?
I am. I'm okay. In my office. Yes.
All right. Away from the boat.
Yes, away from the boat.
So just in case people have missed the story that we did on your previous adventures, why don't you tell us a little bit briefly how you got into this explorer thing and getting all over the world on this boat of yours called Viviray.
Yeah. Well, I grew up with boats. My family had boats, and I've always been the kind of person that likes to push the limits a little bit and do things and go places that a lot of people probably wouldn't do. As a young man, I dreamed of one day having a explorer yacht. I actually bought a single engine trawler type 39-foot boat when I was in my early 30s, and actually took it from Louisiana all the way to the Virgin Islands. And so when I was in my late 50s, I had promised myself that before I turned 60, I would buy an expedition yacht. And I actually did so at the Palm Beach Show. And that's where I purchased my first North Haven, which was in 86, hole number one, formerly known as Kerry Alley.
Yes.
And so we renamed it after my granddaughter, who is Vivian Ray. And we named the boat Vivi Ray for her. She's our only grandchild. And we had that boat for several years, and then I decided to build a new 96. I think I'm hull number three of that series, and completed it in July of 2017. And we actually took delivery in Xiamen, China, and went to Hong Kong, finished provisioning and commissioning the boat, and then went south to Indonesia and across the South Pacific and back to the United States on his maiden voyage, so to speak.
Yep. big maiden voyage, yeah.
Yes.
What attracted you particularly to this 96 North Haven? What did you like about the boat?
Well, as I said, I had purchased a 86, and being able to basically start off with a clean sheet, so to speak, on the 96, and North Haven was very flexible with allowing me to extend decks and configure the floor plan exactly how I wanted it. And there's a lot of things that I liked about the first 86 that I owned, and some things that I, you know, by doing so would have the opportunity to change and improve. So it just kind of made sense. And so we did it, and it took about 3 years to build it. And we've been, you know, kind of on the move ever since.
It looks like you've been doing a lot of things. I was looking at your Instagram account where you keep a few pictures of your adventures. And it looks like you've been very busy since the beginning of the year. Any idea how many miles you put in since we first met in 2018?
Well, I know that I just checked with my first mate, and we have almost 49,000 nautical miles on this boat, Vivi Ray. And we put approximately 20,000 nautical miles in the first year. So since 2018, we've covered about 30,000 nautical miles so far. And the boat's currently in French Polynesia. And, you know, as we spoke about earlier, we're going to continue traveling west until we circumnavigate the world.
Wow.
Over the next couple of years.
Did the circumnavigation start at the beginning of this year then?
It did. We went through the canal in January. We for the last 3 years or so, we've been in the Caribbean. And so made the decision to move it through the canal. Went to Panama. I love Pinas Bay, where Tropic Star Lodge is, a fishing lodge. And we were there for a while fishing, and then moved the boat to Costa Rica and made a trip out to Cocos Island so we could dive with the hammerhead sharks out there.
Wow, how was that?
It was great. And we actually trolled some baits on the way there and back and caught 4 marlin, one on the way there and 3 on the way back. So that was kind of a nice bonus as well.
Mm. Are they keepers or did you throw them back in?
Oh, we always release the marlin, the billfish. We did catch some mai mai and so forth, which we kept, tuna. But we released all the marlin.
Yeah. Well, no, mai mai is delicious. I
mean, yes. Oh, yeah. So we keep those. Yes.
Right. So how long were you in Cocos?
We were in Cocos for 5 days total.
Yeah.
So it's about a 300-mile trip, if I remember correctly. So it was about 30 hours there and 30 hours back and plus 5 days there. So it was a little over a week that we were gone.
Yeah. I remember when we first met, you told me a story of one of your dives. I forget where it was, but there were sharks involved and you got a little bit worried for a minute here. Are you feeling any more comfortable diving with sharks these days?
Well, I've always felt comfortable. I've only had that one incident where I actually had 5 sharks that were showed a little too much interest in me. Had to hold them off with a spear and head back to the boat pretty quickly. But, you know, we just got back from 3 weeks in the Tuamotus, which is, you know, 200 to 300 miles east of Tahiti.
Right.
And diving with lots of sharks every day when the incoming tide or outgoing tide would come in and out of the lagoons, we would dive the passes where all the sharks stack up to feed. And that's always very interesting to see them out of activity during the tidal changes.
Did you go to the Fakarava Pass? Is that where
we
you
did?
Saw?
Yeah. We visited about 7 of the atolls, and Fakarava was one of them. And y'all was there in 2000 and February of 2018 on our way back from the yard. And we only then visited Ranger Aurora, Apataki, and Fakarava, and dove only in Fakarava, the South Pass, which is a phenomenal pass with lots of beautiful coral and lots of fish and lots of sharks. And so this time I wanted to go to some other atolls and check out other passes. Manihi was the other one, which is kind of northeast of Fakarava, probably 130 or 40 miles, that had a very interesting pass with lots of sharks. But what's really interesting is that the grouper were congregating at the pass to spawn on May 14th during the full moon. And we were there 4 or 5 days early, and there was just literally thousands of grouper right outside the mouth of the pass. And I didn't realize it. The grouper don't all spawn at the same time at the different atolls. Actually, Fakarava occurs in July at the full moon. And that is supposed to be phenomenal as well. But of all the places we went and all the atolls on this last trip, South Pass at Fakarava is still the number one pass for me. Yes.
I'm curious, when you do these dives, particularly in areas like the Tuamotus, do you have a expedition specialist or dive specialist with you on the expedition?
First time that we went there in 2018, we did. But this time, we felt like we'd done enough diving through the passes that we did not need one this time. So we did not have a local guide for any of the atolls that we went to.
Okay. But it's a lot of planning all these trips. So when you were planning for your circumnavigation, how did you work it out? Do you just work with your captain, or where do you get your best advice? Because some of these destinations obviously are quite exotic. Maybe French Polynesia, well, it's a long way away, but it's maybe a little bit better known. But some of the stops along the way, I'm sure, are quite remote. So how do you go by about building your itinerary and selecting the stops?
So on our first trip, when we were coming east or south through Indonesia and east across the South Pacific, I actually used Google Earth to look at areas that I wanted to visit and to calculate mileage between islands and so forth and how many days it would take and how many days I wanted to be there, and built a spreadsheet with the entire route. And we actually executed it to the day, we were lucky on weather and so forth. And this time I'm not quite as, I don't maybe want to say organized, but I'm not as rigid on the planning as I was last time. So far, I really only have it planned out through the end of this year, which should get us through to Singapore, hopefully at the end of the year, or at least most of Indonesia, maybe Bali. And then I'll start later this year, I'll start working on next year. But, you know, we have Malaysia and Thailand and Maldives all on the planned route, and then through the Suez Canal and into the Mediterranean. And we'll probably spend some time in Turkey and go to the yard there and have some work done at that point. But I use Google Earth for planning. It's a great tool and easy to determine distances and so forth. And then on our first trip, we did hire a guide in each of the locations, Indonesia, New Caledonia, Vanuatu, Fiji, and French Polynesia. And so I've touched base again with those guys, and we plan to utilize their knowledge and services again as we go through those areas.
It's not just expedition. There's also all the paperwork involved with bringing the boat in and maybe permits and all this stuff, I'm sure, gets complicated.
Yes, and the guides can help with that. And then we also use an agent for each country that we go into, and they help facilitate that process each time we go into a new country.
So I'm curious about French Polynesia. This is not your first time there, obviously. What do you like about it? Do you love it? Is it something you would recommend definitely as a destination for other people who want to explore the Pacific?
I love it. And I particularly love the Tuamotus, which is, I think it's about 100 atolls that run almost 1,000 miles north and south. And primarily because of what I said early on, I like going places where most people don't go.
Yes.
And where it's very remote. I really love that that feeling that one gets when you know that you're traveling to places that very few people have. And Fakarava is, and Rangiroa are two of the more well-known islands in the Tuamotus. So they do get some tourism. They do have some hotels and so forth. And so I wanted to visit some of the other atolls that are even more remote than they are. And most of them, some of them didn't even have an airport, or may have 15 or 20 people living on the island, and most of them are just fishermen. So I love that. And then the Society Islands, the part where most people are familiar with, which is,
yeah,
Tahiti and Bora Bora and those islands, that's a little different experience. It's obviously, they have some beautiful resorts. The diving is still pretty good. Hiking is great. And my wife and a lot of our friends, you know, that aren't is not the same at risk-taking as I am, seem to prefer that better. They like getting off the boat and every now and then going to a restaurant or going to a resort or whatever and doing a little bit of shopping.
Yeah, better shopping probably.
Yes,
right. The islands.
Exactly.
It looks like your Viviere is heading for the Marquesas. Is that the next stop?
Actually, that was a stop on the way from Costa Rica. We went from Quepos to Galapagos for fuel, and then from Galapagos to Marquesas, and the crew stopped there, rested, bought some fuel, and then I met them in Range Aurora in the Tuamutus. Yes.
All right.
So we've done Marquesas. Yeah.
Yeah. How is that? How
well, I did not go. And I've heard so many wonderful things about it, but made the decision that because it's so far, I mean, even from the Tuamutus is 700 miles.
Right.
So I didn't know that that there would be enough there for me to spend, you know, a couple of weeks. I made the decision not for me personally not to go there and just meet the boat in the Tuamutus.
So obviously you're quite still very busy with your business, your car dealerships. So how do you handle things? You're just flying and out, meet the boats at certain points. How often are you able to do that? And where's the next time you are going to meet up with Viviere?
Well, yes, I do. And so we're going to be in French Polynesia through July. I have two more trips planned. The next trip is leaving on the 19th of this month, and we'll be gone for about 2 weeks. And actually, my granddaughter, who the boat's named after, is actually going with us. She loves the boat, and of course, it'll be her first time to French Polynesia. And then we go back again on the 20th of July for another couple of weeks. And then after that trip, the crew will depart for Fiji. And I will meet the boat in Fiji in August. And then after that, Vanuatu, which is absolutely incredible and on our original journey was one of the highlighted areas that I love the most. It is extremely remote. And it's just such a beautiful island country with beautiful water and beaches and very little development. Neat little villages, and people were very friendly, very receptive. And it seemed like every island had a waterfall. And it's a country of a lot of microclimates. So some of the islands were very wet. Some of the islands were very dry. So we actually visited one island that's north of where you fly into, a couple of hundred miles, very remote. And the village there, they live today like they lived several thousand years ago. They have no communication, no running water, no bathrooms. You know, when we pulled up, they all came out and dug out canoes because they had not seen anyone from the outside world in over 3 years.
That's amazing.
So the chief came out and they brought us fruits and flowers and so forth. And we had the traditional kava ceremony with the chief and gave us permission to anchor in their water and dive and fish in their water. And so it was quite an experience to have. And so I'm looking forward to going back to that same island this September, October.
I do remember when we spoke a few years ago, you mentioned that was one of your really top memories from that trip.
The other one is Indonesia, and particularly when you get away from Bali, which everybody thinks of when they think of Indonesia.
Sure.
This time, I'm looking forward to being able to spend some time in Raja Ampat, which I understand is very beautiful and remote. Actually trying to figure out how in the world we're going to fly in there because it is complicated. yes, the southern part of Indonesia is very remote and reminded me a lot of Vanuatu with small villages and people that live a very basic life but seem to be very happy. And, you know, you don't see kids running around with cell phones and they're all outside and they're going to school in dugout canoes and, you know, they... they just seem to be a very happy society. Mm-hmm. So it was wonderful as well.
Yeah. So anything come close to that in your recent trips?
The Tuamotus and Vanuatu and Indonesia are so far my top three places.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult. People ask me, well, which one do you like the best? And it's a hard decision to make. I mean, they're all different and all equally as exciting. So for me, those are the top three areas that I like the most.
It looked like you had a little bit of an adventure in Panama. I guess when you were there, there was some unrest going on, or did I see that right? Or was it Guatemala? I forget where you were.
It was Guatemala. Yes. But that was kind of another side trip that I took while my crew was moving the boat on the way to Marquesas. I actually flew down there and chartered a boat and went fishing for a few days. But on the return, there was some political unrest. They were protesting high gas prices, and they'd blocked off all the roads to Guatemala City.
Mm.
So we ended up having to charter a helicopter in order to get to the airport because all the roads were blocked. So yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah.
How about Panama? When you went to Panama, did you do the crossing on the boat or the canal?
I did not. I have done it several times.
Yeah.
And so no, I was not on the boat this time as when they went through the canal.
Is that an experience you recommend to other boat owners who may not have had that opportunity?
Yes.
Or is it just long and very boring?
No, actually, the first time we went through, we towed tender around a 40-foot boat, and for whatever reason, the canal will not let both boats go through at the same time. And actually today, a towed tender, if it's trailerable, they want you to ship it that way, which is how we had to do it this time. But the first time I went through, I took a 40-foot tender through the canal. We got in the canal about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon behind a super tanker, and which was interesting to go through the 3 or 4 locks up to the lake, and then we ran across the lake, and we got to the other side about 2 a.m. in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We ran across at night. Now, in a larger boat that's not as fast, like on Vivi Ray, you go through all the locks, you end up in the lake, and then you spend the night in the lake, and then the next morning you finish the transit of the canal. So it takes a couple of days to get across.
Right. So that could be a bit long.
Yeah. But it's interesting. I would recommend to anybody that's not had the opportunity to do it, particularly if they love boats, is to make that trip from the Caribbean to the Pacific or vice versa.
Right. Definitely. Now, also looking at your Instagram, it looks like you got a new tender or got one built.
Yes. So for the last three tenders, it's been built by Winter Custom Yachts, Tim Winter. And those are North Carolina cold molded type boats. And I decided that for this round the world trip that I needed to construct something that could take any type of weather, basically was unsinkable. And so fortunately, Metal Shark Boats is a company about 30 minutes south of Lafayette, where I live. And I actually am very good friends with the owner of that company. And Metal Shark Boats builds mostly military vessels for countries around the world, including, you know, the U.S. Navy. And they also build ferries. And they built one boat, which I think you're familiar with, is Magnet.
Yeah.
Which was about a 40-something meter power cat.
Yeah.
Yes. And I had the opportunity to tour that boat as it was in the yard being built over that time period, 2 or 3 years. So Metal Sharks has been capable of, you know, being very flexible. So we designed a 36-foot, they build out of aluminum hull and tender. And I'd hope to power it with diesel outboards, but they're just not quite ready yet. So unfortunately, because we have a fueling station on Vivi Ray where we can fuel a tender with diesel, but we were not able to do that this time with some diesel outboards. So we're putting gas outboards on it. And it will be shipped at the end of this month to French Polynesia and will arrive at the end of July. So unfortunately, we're not going to have it on these next couple of trips, but we will have it. We'll be towed to Fiji, and from then on, we'll have it to use. And we also have two smaller tenders on the bow. We have a 5.5 meter and a 4.7 meter ribs by Ribeye, which is a company in England. Makes a great rib, in my opinion. Yeah. And so that's what we've been using to dive and actually do some fishing off of. Matter of fact, we have, I believe it's like almost 5,800 nautical miles on the 5.5 meter rib.
Wow. That's a well-traveled tender there.
Yes. So, yeah, it's seen a lot of miles in the almost 5 years we've had it. Yes. Yeah.
Any other changes you've made to the boat or additions to the fleet in terms of the water toys or anything interesting?
You know, something we've added is we have two flight boards, hydrofoil flight boards.
Are you doing
which,
that?
Yes. Yes. Everybody loves that. Right. So we have those. And then we also have a hyperbaric chamber on board.
Wow.
For diving. Yep. And we have lots of other toys in addition to that. But the flight boards have been very popular.
Hmm. I don't know if I could. I haven't tried it yet, but I keep looking at people doing it. It looks somewhat easy, but then very hard too. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you described it well. It's got a bit of a learning curve, but it's not that long of a learning curve. And it's kind of like riding a bike. Once you get it, it's pretty easy.
Yeah. So what's the secret? Balance? Strength?
The secret is being far enough forward because the foil wants to go up and out of the water. And so it's just convincing yourself how much of your weight you have to have really far forward on the board to keep that from happening.
Yeah. I'll have to try it someday, maybe. But it looks very difficult, actually.
Fun, no, but you can do it. Yeah.
So I was looking into recently the Nordhavn Film Festival for some reason. And I did see that a couple of years ago, you had actually entered a little video for Vivi Ray. So I'm curious. I think they're having that festival again. Are you recording your trips? Are you going to submit something again?
We do. At that time, we had a mate that was extremely good with drones and video editing and so forth. And unfortunately, we don't still have him as a deckhand today. But he was really kind of the driving force behind the film that we made for that festival.
No.
So I do a lot of videotaping and some drone flying, but I'm not very good at editing, so I don't think we'll be in it this time.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it's a shame because it looks like you're going to some very interesting places.
We are. Yeah.
How is your crew? I mean, there was a bit of a difficult year, obviously, with 2020 with the pandemic. Did that have some consequences on your plans that year for and the crew? Were there difficulties associated with that?
Well, I'm very tenacious, and so we figured out a way to continue to use the boat through all of that part of the time in the Bahamas and then in the Grenadines.
Oh, nice.
So through being vaccinated and doing a lot of COVID testing, I almost feel like I hold the world record for the most COVID tests because, you know, the Grenadines, you had to have a test before you left, and then you had to have a test when you arrive, and so, we continued, for the most part, to continue to use the boat during that time period. So great. We kept them busy.
Well, yep. That's good. And yep. So I assume they enjoy the trips because obviously if they're going to be on Vivi Ray, they have to be willing to travel.
That's true. Yeah. If you want to be a crew on Vivi Ray, if you like staying at the dock or in a marina, then you're not going to be happy because... that's the last place I want to be is at a marina. So, we like to be moving and anchored out somewhere as much as we can.
So you have the right crew, you're happy with and they're happy with the trips.
Yes. Yeah. And they, I'm a dive instructor. So if we do hire someone that's not, dive certified, then we always try to get them certified as quickly as possible, because I think it's important that you know, that the crew just doesn't see the areas that we go through a porthole. And so I always tell the captain that anytime we're doing anything, if we're diving or going ashore or on excursion or whatever, if he's okay with letting, you know, part of the crew go with us, and they're more than welcome, you know.
That's great.
So yeah, we want to make sure that they enjoy it as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm sure they like that part of it. It's true. I mean, some of this trip look wonderful, but if you never leave the galley or the laundry room, it's not fun.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. So paradise doesn't look so good from inside of a porthole. You know?
Not always, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. So you've been able to keep the same crew for the last couple of years?
Well, I've kept the majority of the crew. We have had some changes with the chef and, a deckhand, but the core's there. And actually, my original captain for the first two Nordhavens and through the build is a gentleman, and his family are from South Africa. Children were born in Fort Lauderdale while I was working for me, and he's currently working for me in Lafayette, running a car wash business that I have.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So he has young children, and he was rotating at the time and gone half the year, and I had this opportunity to come up, and he was a perfect fit. And so he's actually living in Lafayette and running that business for me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a great resource, because if I have any questions or need anything or opinions on crew, or I needed to order a new tow line for this new boat, and he's right here and has all the information. So it's great having him as a backup.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
Yeah.
Always.
And he's told me he's secretly jealous of looking at all the pictures on Instagram, kind of torn whether he likes being home with his family every night or back on the boat for a period of time.
I can see how, you know, you would probably weigh on both sides of the equation here.
That's
once
right.
In a while.
Exactly.
What about you? Is it hard to be away from VVRA? I mean, like, I think I would be obsessed with following where the boat is all the time, kind of waiting for the day I'm going back. Are you able to kind of forget she's out there and just focus on your other business?
Yeah, it's you know, I feel like I'm so lucky and fortunate because I'm at a stage in my life where I can spend as much time as I choose away from my business. I have a very good management team and spend that time and not have to worry, although I'm always you know, answering emails and, you know, in touch, even though I'm away. And then, but sometimes too much of a good thing is not a good thing. And so it's nice to be able to leave and come back home and spend some time at my house and at my office and get caught up. And then I'm ready to go again. So
yeah.
I have the opportunity to be gone as much as I want or as home as much as I want. So when I'm on VVRA, I try not to think about the business any more than I have to. And when I'm at the office, I try to focus on that. But I'm like you said, I'm always kind of thinking about that next trip. And that next trip, you know, is if I didn't have the next trip, I probably wouldn't be very happy when I was at home. But I always know I have that next trip to take on VVRA, you know.
What are you looking the most forward to in the coming weeks?
Well, it will be the second time that I've been through the Society Island. So I'm looking at forward to going to that trip. And we're taking my wife and I, our granddaughter, like I mentioned earlier,
yeah,
and three other couples. So be nine of us on the trip. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I get a lot of joy and happiness out of seeing those adventures through other people's eyes.
Yeah.
And being able to take people and have them experience something that they otherwise would not be able to. And so that adds a lot of joy to me as well. And particularly, you know, being able to have our granddaughter on the trip with us and be able to share these new experiences with her is what I'm probably most looking forward to.
How old is she?
She's 10.
Oh, wow. So she's at an age where she can truly appreciate.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting for the first 8 years of her life, she did not want to have anything to do with the boat.
Really?
And, yes. And then a couple of years ago, my wife and I were talking about going to the Bahamas, and she came over to me and said, "Hey, Papa, can I go too?" And I almost fell out of my chair because we've been trying to get her to go. And after that first trip, she has wanted to go on every single trip since then. She told us at the end of last year, she didn't think it was fair that she wasn't going to be able to go on the boat again until school was out. So this would be that trip. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it really helps her with her schoolwork. I mean, this is the kind of experiences that very few kids have. And, you know, to be able to see the world and the animals up close and all this is amazing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think about when we went to the Bahamas and you can go to the islands where they have all the iguanas and feed the iguanas and go to Pig Beach and do that. And to be able to, we actually took her to Staniel Key, where they have all the nurse sharks in the water, and let her get in the water with the nurse sharks and petting nurse sharks.
Yeah.
And, you know, just things that most kids would never have the opportunity to experience.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You know, to walk to a beach that virtually looks like no one's ever walked on it before and
right.
having that experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Does she dive already?
She doesn't, but I have that on my list.
What are mom and dad saying about that?
They'll all be too happy with it. But I did get her on the flight board. And so she likes that, although she rides with me. But she's very adventurous. So I'll get her diving in the next couple of years.
Oh, it sounds like the apple didn't fall quite far from the
tree,
huh?
That's true.
That adventure gene has gone past them. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That's great. So then when you stop and you'll have to do probably a little bit of maintenance on the boat, and are you thinking about a next boat or this is it for now?
No, I am thinking about a next boat.
So
our plan, part of the plan, we did an extensive yard period last summer before we, because I knew this around the world circumnavigation was coming up, and replaced boat generators because we already had almost 12,000 hours on each of the generators, which is a lot for 4 years. Did a lot of other work. And so when we get to Turkey, I understand the yard costs there are quite a bit lower than in the United States. So we'll again do some more work. And then when we get back to the Caribbean probably 2024, I plan on putting the boat up for sale and looking forward to purchasing something, you know, in the 40 meter range, 35 to 40 meter range. You know, we're about 210 gross tonnage, and I'd like to get something between 400 and 499 gross tonnage size boat.
What's missing? And where would you like to expand on the boat? Where is that gross tonnage?
You know, every time I talk about getting another boat, my friends ask me exactly the same question. So what would you want?
I thought I was being original.
No. You know, I would like, I'm very much into fitness, and we do have a lot of fitness equipment on this boat, and we designed in the on the sun deck an area where we can store a treadmill, and then we have, you know, hand weights and TRX straps and a lot of equipment, but it would be nice to have a gym on board. I would like some larger staterooms for our guests. But other than that, you know, really there's nothing else that I don't have already on this existing boat. And sometimes when I'm on it, I ask myself the same question. You know, I love the boat and it will do everything I want it to do. But, you know, it's kind of like, I guess everyone goes through these phases. You know, it's always, you know, what's the next boat? It's got to be something just a little bigger, you know, just a little bigger. So I don't know if that's a disease or what, but I certainly seem to have it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, you're not alone. think you'll be designing or building new, or you don't know yet?
I don't think I'll build new. I would like, and it's another thing with an expeditional style yacht with the cabin forward and the big aft deck where a tender could be a larger tender, you know, something in, I don't know, 10 meter range could be stored so that we don't have to tow it. So I don't know. I spend time on YouTube looking at you know, different new builds. And, you know, I haven't decided yet. And it will also depend what's on the market, you know, when I'm ready.
Well, sure, of course. Yeah. At the moment, I guess I hear it's not a good time to buy. So.
It's not, you know, so hopefully that'll, you know, in a couple of years from now, that'll kind of settle out.
Right. Well, I hope you're looking at Boat International, too, for your inspiration.
I do. I get that magazine every month. So,
okay,
yes.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Glad to hear it. Well, listen, thank you very much for your time. It's nice to catch up with you and hear more about your trips and plans.
Yep. Well, you know, if anybody wants to kind of see where we are and what we're doing, we're on Instagram, and it's just Vivi Rae, V-I-V-I-E-R-A-E on Instagram.
Very good.
So continue to, you know, follow us, and, you know, love to do another update maybe in 6 months or a year.
Sounds good. I'll be watching.
Okay.
Well, thank you again very much for your time, Bob. Very much appreciate it.
Okay. Nice thank you, too.
Thank you for listening to this week's Big Boat interview, which was mixed and edited by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to tune in later this week for Boat Briefing, our weekly roundup of Superyacht News. Until then, have a great week.